Well, all right, we're going to start the show.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza. Pizza, pizza.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Showtime! You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. Go to streaming, go to DLNTS.org. And the IC challenge, LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 907 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Good evening.
We have Joel.
Hello.
We have Joe.
Hello, hello.
I don't know if Rich is there.
He's breathing.
My microphone isn't on. A lot of stuff to talk about tonight. So I have a question. I'm just going to throw this out there, right? My MacBook. I used to like the keyboard, but for some reason, I don't know what has happened, but in the past, like, year, 6 months to a year, I can't type on that keyboard anymore without, like, my error rate being so high. Like, when I type in my password, invariably, I'm also getting other, like, key presses in there for letters or numbers right next to it or more than one, and I'm like, I really don't have this problem on any other keyboards.
What year is that MacBook?
2016, I think.
Okay, well, it's a couple years old, and do you live in a humid environment?
Yes.
Then it's probably just the traces are starting to decay.
Maybe that's it.
That would be my assumption.
It's like I got fumble fingers all of a sudden whenever I use that keyboard.
I mean, are you certain you're not bumping other keys?
I probably am bumping other keys. Although, again, like, I've been using computers, like, every day for the past 2 decades.
Does it happen on other keyboards?
Not to the same extent.
Okay.
Which is weird.
It might be some deterioration.
Maybe I'll put it on a raft and send it out into the bay at a Viking funeral.
Yeah, well, get yourself an extra clicky mechanical keyboard and use that for a couple of days, and it'll force you to be a bit more precise and see if you still have the issue.
I should do that. Yeah, you got a good point there. Although I got to reposition my desk and everything to put a keyboard on there.
And then if that is the issue, I don't know how easy it is to replace those keyboards. If it's a bunch of plastic tabs holding it together, then taking it out apart isn't the problem. It's putting it back together.
Yeah, this is a work laptop, so I am not taking it apart.
Then replace the damn laptop with,
I might be coming around for laptop replacement soon.
Well, if you're having a mechanical issue with the laptop and, you know, you didn't, like, drown it in Kool-Aid or something, then they shouldn't have a problem with replacing it. I mean, that type of thing happens.
This would be the second one. This would be the second time they've replaced. Well, yeah, this would be the second one they've replaced. Like, this one was a replacement for my previous one that the battery expanded and popped the keyboard up enough that you couldn't type on it anymore.
Well, unless you were typing while it was in an oven, it's not your fault. So.
No, no, of course not. Yeah,
right. That's like
See, my company usually replaces, I think, between 18 and 24 months, I think. I don't know. So my laptop's been working fine. Wow, that's a
short turnaround time.
Yeah, yeah. I get
Joe's
one about every 2 years.
Joe's company is like every decade,
so.
Right?
Well, no, when I was working at Hewlett-Packard, and I actually had a laptop that I took home, I think it was like between 3 years and 4 years, and it all depended on certain factors. But at Bank of America, I only had a laptop for 6 months before I switched positions, and they gave me a desktop. And then that desktop I had for... 4 years.
Wow.
That same desktop. And then I switched to, I think it's called an HVD.
Right. So on mine, though, it still works, but, I have, a key, which just happens to be a letter that's in my password. It will either stick or just not work. I generally can deal with it. It's not like I'm typing this letter a lot. It's not that bothering. But I think from now on, what I'm probably going to do is I went and picked up an external keyboard and mouse wireless setup, and I'm going to keep that. And use that primarily, especially since I'm mostly at home nowadays. You know, I never travel for work. And then that way, at least the keyboard that's on the laptop will just work until the damn laptop dies or until I get the replacement. So, and I could probably call up IT and say, hey, this is what's happening. And I didn't spill nothing. It's just the way it is. It's just this keyboard starting to go out on me. You know, yeah, so I could do that, and they'll send me out something that works. I'm really I hate switching laptops. It's a pain in the ass. So I mean,
you're having
though,
to re-get all the tools and reset them up, and
especially since now I'm doing more things with going to start doing more things with Git. This is our training week. So the first half of our day, every day is a long training session, you know, and it's like, I'm just starting to get you to get things set up for that. And it's like, I hate the hassle of it. So, I mean, nine times I think all of my files, technically I could probably, it doesn't really matter because I can just sync the Git repo down for our GitHub setup, and then I have it. But you know, it's just a pain. I hate it. So I know that the last time I got a laptop was 2019. So I know I'm due very soon now, with at least the corporate policy, unless it changed. So, which is also a possibility. And that's the case. If I get that close, and I'm not seeing any because usually what happens is you'll walk in and you'll open your email. It's like, hey, you qualify for a new laptop. Do you want one? And you're like, hell yeah. you know?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
But,
did you have an HP computer when you worked at Hewlett-Packard?
Yes.
Is that what they gave you? How long ago was it?
How long ago was I at HP?
Yeah.
5 years ago?
Ah, okay. So this was after the Compaq days.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I forgot HP bought Compaq.
What was it?
Or acquired
HP,
Compaq.
ProBook or EliteBook? One of the two. I can't remember which one I had. I think it was the EliteBook that I had for work, and then I had my own ProBook.
Remember Packard Bell?
Yes.
Oh man, those were like the Packard Bell was the crap. That one and what was the E-Machines? Those were the crap computers. Like when I had that temp job at
Compaq was making some pretty crappy computers.
Oh yeah,
for
when
a while.
I was working at Staples right before, like, well, just to get like on their tech bench, some experience there. Packard Bell was like the E-Machine, and Packard Bell was like the bottom of the barrel, and then Compaq was next, and HP, but it was like cheap models.
Now see, Gateway actually made okay computers. The problem was is they put so much bloatware on them that out of the box the things were practically unusable.
Yeah, but you couldn't buy, you had to go to this Gateway store for a long time to buy a Gateway.
Yeah.
Back when I worked in at Staples.
Well, no, you can mail order it.
All right. I'm talking back in like the mid to late 90s or the early 90s and mid 90s.
I'm talking mid 90s.
Yeah, but you could order, you could mail order a Compaq or an IBM. I'm just talking about like if you wanted to go
and
out
and a Gateway.
And yes, if you wanted to go out and buy a computer in a store, you weren't going to find a Gateway in any other place than the Gateway stores.
No, you weren't.
That's what I'm
saying.
No,
you weren't. That's true.
And if you went into like Staples or Best Buy, you were going to find like typically the lower
Acer.
End, Acer, Compaq,
Acer,
Bell,
HP.
Acer,
machines.
Yeah, so they used to have the bundled thing where you get a desktop computer with keyboard, mouse, speakers, a monitor, and maybe a printer if whatever. And like the prices would go up, like for $300, $250, $300, you could get a Packard Bell or an E-machine, and then like for $300 to $400, it was like you would start getting into the range of Compaq or HP, you know, for another $100, $150, and then they go up because they weren't selling. Like they might have one higher end model, but that was typically an HP or a Compaq for the you know the stores. It's just like going into Best Buy had a little more variety there, but you weren't getting like their highest end models that you could get in those places like that, is what I'm
getting. There's high-end models at what store? Because I like looking at high-end models.
Holy crap, Staples. There he is.
What, did you finally get your microphone working there?
No, I kind of was on a spontaneous chat about an event going on this weekend on Instagram, so.
But, yeah, so, yeah, E-Machine was the bottom of the barrel. For a little while, I think they were also selling some Apples in there. There was one or two. The iMac, if I recall correctly. And then they pulled them when Apple was selling them.
Or the Quadras or anything like that, yeah.
Are we talking ancient history here?
Back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, he is. He's talking about the E-machines and Packard Smell. Ooh. And
let me ask you guys a question as far as computers go, because I'm still, and I know I've said this many times on the show, do you feel like you're not updating your computer as quickly as you did maybe 10 years ago?
No.
I think a lot of my computers are still from 10 years ago.
Honestly, 10 years ago I was broke and couldn't afford a new computer, and the computer that I got given was for vocational rehabilitation from the VA, so I kept that laptop for a very long time.
I usually keep things for a very long time myself. I'm still rocking my 2012 MacBook Pro, and you know, pretty much I use it as a desktop for the most part. It doesn't leave my desk.
That's what I do with this one. This is my Linux machine. It's a 5-year-old Dell Inspiron, and that's really, this is the only day I really use it every week. And I have my old Lenovo yoga book that I still use on occasion. It's actually mostly the one I end up, like, if I get a new Blu-ray, I'll have an external USB Blu-ray. And that's how I rip the movie off of that and put it on my Open Media Vault. So, and then I have my Surface, which I use pretty much darn near every day. And I have one of my wife's old laptops that I'll boot up every once in a while, which I may ditch when we move next week. But that's it. And, you know, I kind of wanted a new Surface this or new laptop or something this year, but the house is kind of taking precedent. I think probably what I'll end up doing once I get to the house is I may buy an actual desktop machine with scads of storage.
You know what I noticed, Rich, for me, and what ended up happening was back from the 90s to the mid-aughts, when I was gaming a lot more on computers, I was trying to keep a more up-to-date desktop system. And when I stopped gaming on my computers, I pretty much stopped like doing a lot of upgrades.
Makes sense.
And switched to laptops. And the thing is, it's like, if I get a decent laptop, it tends to last me a lot longer than if I buy like low-end cheap ones. Even though the low-end cheap ones, I still have them running. But all those netbooks I went through and stuff, you know, trying out lower-end machines and stuff like that. that's kind of like right. When I really so.
I used to run a VM on my netbook.
Oh, so did I, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they're not... It depends on what you want to do with them, and... So, yeah, I've replaced my machines... Or I don't tend to replace my machines as often as I would think I should, or even... Not even think I should, as I used to in the early
See, I replace things like...
I need to sell off some of the extra machines I have.
Yeah, I either need to do that or to get rid of some of the lower end stuff I hardly ever use anymore. But like, I'll end up replacing my phone more often because I use that damn thing. Like, I would say probably 10-15 hours a day, probably.
Well, okay, I try to keep my phone for at least 3 years.
Right, I'm still rocking a Note 8.
I do tend to buy high end phones. So, like, I got the Note 10 Plus in my pocket right now. But before that, I had the S7.
Right.
So I kept that for 3 years, switched to the 10, and then I'll have the 10, mine and my wife's paid off, like, what, in 2 months, 3 months? It's coming up shortly. And then... do without extra phone payments for a year, which is always nice, and then I'll pick up something else.
Well, whoever thought you'd pay $1,000 for a phone?
$2,000.
Right. Two?
Well, it's not what I paid, but that's the price that some phones are costing now. I mean, the Samsung Flip or Fold, Samsung Galaxy Fold, there you go. That's a $2,000, or was a $2,000 phone when it first came out.
That's nuts. I'm ready to swear off the, you know, bougie phone, $1,000 phone. I'm not into it.
Well, wait, your Note 8, that's your daily driver?
Yes.
That was only like, how much was it, $200, $300, just $250, $300?
What?
How much?
No, I think it was like, I think it was a grand. I think it was
probably at least $800 when it first came out. But
that's what it's going for now.
On phone.
Oh, yeah, it might be
different
now.
At the time. Yeah.
Right.
And honestly, before the 20 line, the only upgrade that would have been worth it between there would have been the Note 9. The Note 10 really isn't that much of an improvement on the Note 8.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I am not a fan of the curved screen because it just means higher impact vectors.
Yeah. But I will say one thing. Got the Wyze watch, mostly on your recommendation, Rich.
I love that thing.
I have been more satisfied by that than any smartwatch I've had. And I had a Moto 360 first generation. And the Michael Kors, I don't even remember what model the Michael Kors one is. But when I'm sitting here and I pull up my watch and I look at, let's see, its last was on the charger was Saturday, and I have 40% battery life left. Yeah, I'm going to make it to Saturday.
It's a 10-day watch, You know, so realistically, I figured out a new good feature of the watch is if you go weekend traveling, like I'm going to be doing a long weekend. And so I'm going to bring that watch because then I don't have to bring a charger. Because, I mean, my Samsung, right. You know, Gear S3 Frontier will do probably close to 48 hours, but I'm going to need to charge it.
Right. And I'll say this. Knowing the specs, this is the lowest amount of memory I've ever had in something that I bought brand new in years. That watch has 16 megabytes of memory. That's it.
Yeah, I'm super happy with it function-wise. I am really... there's a couple of things, like my Samsung watch knows when I'm biking, so it'll start logging my biking. The Wise Watch doesn't. I'm okay with that. I can't make phone calls for my Wise Watch. I can't pay for things with my Wise Watch.
Same.
For $20, I'll laugh all the way. I'm so happy about
that. Can you still manually turn on the tracking for a bike ride?
I think you can. I just haven't.
You can you can track an exercise, but I think it usually looks at either walking or running.
So no GPS?
No, there's no GPS in it.
Well, you can still track a bike ride with your phone, so...
True.
Yeah, yeah.
And then use Wise to track heart rate throughout.
But I've showed this to multiple people, and I've already had one person at work buy one. It's like, and I bet you I'm going to have at least two people buy one at church.
And I'm ticked. There should be an affiliate link.
Right.
Look, I paid $20.
I paid $30, but that's just because I want instant gratification, and Micro Center has them.
$30 is $20 is a steal. $30 is still slightly less than a steal.
Yeah.
Is Pat
it's
out
still
there?
Really close.
Is Pat listening? Is he stealth mode?
He was here.
He is so, here.
What's going on?
Hey, Pat, you know where I'm going this weekend?
I saw your video, yes.
Do I need to make a new video for you?
Nah, you don't need
to. You sure? Because I was going to do it.
Yeah. It's cool, Matt. Don't get the COVID again.
Yep. But
that's my advice.
But that's,
enjoy. Don't
that
get
watch, it. Though. There you go. But that watch, though, it's the great case of it does exactly what I need and nothing more.
Oh, and there's you can 3D print a watch stand for it.
Well, yeah. I did that for my Michael Kors too, but
so on Thingiverse there's a watch stand for it.
Yep. But yeah, I'm really satisfied with it. You know, I still like my Michael Kors. It's a nice looking watch, and when I need more, I'll take it, but it technically it doesn't have a GPS on it either. It does have Wi-Fi, but it's like, who, in an end run, do I really need Wi-Fi on my watch? No. But, you know, and if it wasn't for me being into media creation, I could, all my after work activities, I'd be just fine either on my phone or my iPad or a tablet or something. If Android tablets came out that were not priced like the iPad and did suck.
Well, for devices, and I got another question device-wise for you guys. So I'm still rocking, it's probably a two-year-old $15 Chromebook, 15-inch,
right.
I'm sorry, two-year-old $200 15-inch Chromebook. Still loving it, and like you said, I only thing I don't do on this thing is edit videos. You know, that's the only thing I don't do. But, you know, my wife got this. She likes the Chromebook. That's, you know, kind of, it's like the Linus blanket. I drag it around the house with me wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to think smartphone-wise. I want to know what you guys, your progression in smartphones. I had the original Droid, like, slider, and then it was, the Droid Bionic after that, which was awful?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the Samsung S3 and then the Note 4 and the Note 8. So I've had, I don't know, how many is that?
I've had too many.
Is that five smartphones? I've had, prior to smartphones, I had like the Razer and then some other flip phone, and I had the Nokia Brick.
Did you ever get like a PDA, like a Palm or a Windows CE device?
I inherited like a Palm, but I just never really got into it.
Okay.
No, so like I had the Dell Axum X51V.
Which was like a Palm clone, right?
Yeah, it was a Palm clone. And that was awesome. I still have it somewhere, and if you know, it didn't do only like web. No, the battery's fine. It's the Wi-Fi on it.
Right.
It won't do WPA2, so.
Ooh.
Good point. Now, see, I had various pocket PC devices and like at least one or two Palms, but then smartphone wise, I started with the G1. Pat had that too. That's back when you actually had to ROM the damn phone to make it last more than.
I had one of the early Android devices.
Right.
Super early, but I can't remember which one it was.
Yep, and I had some HTC variant. I can't remember which one it was, and it had like
the
a
Dash.
Year's service. Yeah.
And that then was I Windows.
Had, yep. See, then I had.
And then I had the HTC HD2, which also started out as Windows, but it ended as an Android phone.
Yep. And then I switched from my G1, I went to the Droid 2, then from the Droid 2 to, I forget what. At some point, I had a Nexus 6, and I had a Pixel 2, I had a Note 3, and I went from the Pixel 2 to this Note 10. I've been very happy with it. It's still a great phone.
And the S3...
day.
The Note 3, the S7, and the Note 10.
Now, I still see people pining for a good replacement for the Nexus 7 tablet, which was, for me, the best Android tablet they ever made.
Dude, there's a whole cult for that tablet.
There totally is. You know, and every... Everyone wants a new one, but it doesn't appear that Google even gives a crap about that. They're more about their little Wear OS Fitbit Samsung project for their new wearable watch, and I'm like, eh.
ROG is actually doing some really cool things with phones, but I worry about any phone that has that type of fan on the back. Not for the noise or anything, but it has to have some kind of vent on the back, too. And if it's in your pocket, then shit's going to get in that venting.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually clog the heck out of your phone.
Wow, good point.
Yep. But it's like, you know, the phone-wise, you know, phones I'll probably always kind of keep fairly up to date just because it's my most commonly used device. Yeah, I use it all the time. You know, tablets, you know, every couple years I'll probably get a new one. Depends on how things are, you know. I can't tell you this from having used two convertibles. My Yoga's convertible and then the Lenovo that I have in for review for Gear Diary. They're both convertibles. I can count the amount of times I flip the screen back over the keyboard. On one hand, on both devices. It's just, I don't see the reason for it. My Surface, I'd use it far more in tablet mode than I thought I would. But 90% of the time, the keyboard's connected to it. So,
yeah.
The interest, to me, that's kind of interesting.
Same thing with my Latitude tablet. It's always got the freaking keyboard attached to it.
Yeah. It's far more useful for me to have the tablet. You know, with a keyboard in most cases, especially since the Surface I use more like a laptop. I mean, that's like we got into the discussion in the Gear Diary group, and I actually wrote an article about it. Now that the iPad has the M1 chip available in it, could it be your 100% machine? And the answer is no, because iPad OS is just too restrictive. You know, if I had a Mac with an M1, I could load full Creative Cloud and full desktop applications. Can't do that on an iPad. I will say the iPad has a lot of useful applications, a lot of desktop-like applications, and for a lot of people, just like the Chromebook, that can be their only machine. For me, no.
Yeah, they've been talking a long time about merging the two operating systems, but still haven't actually seen it happen yet.
Yep. I just don't see, unless they make changes to the iPad OS, because Apple's screwing up, in my opinion. They could literally make the iPad Pros just like a Surface Pro. Not just have the attached, they have the keyboard and all that. They just don't have an OS that actually will do everything that Windows 10 will do, for that matter. Or run Linux or anything else. Unless they make some changes at WWDC to iPad OS that makes it more useful, I don't see the point in having an M1 in it. Because I'm just happy with my iPad Air 4, which I just got, to be honest, back in the fall. So it's like, but so far as laptops are concerned, I will never be done with laptops. I will always use them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about desktops. I kind of want a desktop only because it's been forever and a day since I've had one. But I keep thinking that I don't want to dedicate the space to it, if you know what I mean.
I have my 2010 laptop. I'm sorry, desktop at the edge of my desk here. It's not wired, not plugged in. It's it'll fire up. In fact, I don't even know what OS is on it right now.
Two or three Ubuntu versions ago, probably.
Because I had a removable drive set up, so I could just drop in whatever OS I wanted.
I'm more apt, if I went a desktop route, I'm more apt to look at maybe a either modern 90s era computing power-ish machine for retro games, and then have the OS's loaded on SD cards instead of a hard drive. That way I can swap back and forth.
Yeah. I don't know if I do SD cards.
Yeah.
Too volatile.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But, yeah. But, something removable, But.
Order a whole bunch of small M.2 drives and adapters.
Right. Yep.
The 128 gig ones aren't all that expensive, and they're super fast. And you can get them USB-C or USB-3 if you really want, and be perfect for it.
Excuse me, but that's like if I bought a retro computer, like if I bought an Atari ST, one of the first things I would not even try to use floppy drives built from that era that would work on it. I would probably buy the floppy drive replacements that put the SD cards in places of the floppies, just because I could literally have the whole library on one SD card. So at least
it's not like it's a hard conversion where you can't switch it back to stock or anything.
No. And the problem with the older floppy drives, too, is they're decrepit. Yeah, they're very decrepit. Far more volatile than when we use them, just because they're 30 or 40 years old, depending on the computer,
Yeah, so, at least they don't catch on fire and explode like cellulose film.
Yeah. But more and more, looking at retro systems is kind of what I've been thinking about more, because I want to play some of the old games, I have somewhere probably in storage, I have MechWarrior 2, and I want to go back and play that game. I would actually even pay GOG or Steam or somebody to actually be able to play that on Windows 10, but I can't. Nobody's done it yet.
Have you checked if anybody has put it on a Pi? Under MAME or something?
It might, well, it could work under DOSBox, maybe, because there was a DOS version of that game. The version I have is from Windows 95, and it will not run on modern Windows.
So, what's your next tech purchase?
Probably.
It's going to be a little while before I make another tech purchase, and I have no idea what that'll be, but that's just because I made my, you know, next tech purchase a couple days ago.
And what was that?
A 3D printer.
Woo, you what'd you get?
I got the Ender 3 V2.
Okay,
and
cool.
And I'm loving nice. It. It's really quiet motors, even though the fans are loud.
You can replace them with Noctuas.
I'm considering it. I know that there's some heavy modification that has to go in with that, too, because I don't think Noctua makes them the right size.
No, you have to figure out which ones will work. Yeah.
And I've seen that other people have done it, so I wouldn't have to do much figuring out there other than, you know, how to search.
Yep.
But I finished putting it together yesterday because I had to wait until my son was available because he wanted to watch me put it all together. So I did that. And I printed out the a test cube. And then I printed out the dog that was included on the micro SD card. And then I printed out this really cool print-in-place gear. Let me see. And it's like a free-spinning gear once you get it all set up. And I think it's really cool. And it's almost like a fidget spinner. Oh, whoops. Wrong paste. That was for a different chat. Let me bring this one up.
I want to print a torture toaster, but it's a 19-hour print.
Yeah. Well, I've got some long prints planned out. Right now, I think I have a 6-hour print going on, and then I have, 9-hour print and a 26-hour print planned. And that'll be fun.
Yep. But, I've done a couple of 20-plus hour prints recently. I can't tell you what I was printing, though.
Lowers? AR lowers?
No.
Liar.
No, it wasn't an AR lower.
Something else lower. Firearm related.
Could be. It was unfortunately, it's I'm sworn to secrecy at this point.
Ah.
So, okay, here's what I'm thinking about. I don't think I'm upgrading my laptop. Right now, I think my 2012 MacBook Pro is still doing a good job. I did upgrade the SSD in it from like a 256 to a 1 terabyte. My Chromebook is still kicking it good. My phone is still kicking it good. As far as tech goes, I think I got my daughter a Canon G7X Mark II, and I wouldn't mind having a camera like that.
Yep. Well, I would say the last major purchase I made was my Sony A6400, my Alpha 6400 camera, which I absolutely love. I don't count the lens. I just bought a lens for it not too long ago, kind of for my birthday, a telephoto. I don't really count that. That wasn't that expensive in the grand scheme of things. Really, I don't have major tech purchases planned other than just putting smart bulbs all over my new house once we close it. Smart bulbs.
Bulbs.
Like
it
sounded like you said smart bombs.
Yes.
Yeah, he's maybe playing some of those Defender too. Again. There you go.
So, do you have a brand that you're going to be using?
See, I don't know. I might go Wyze just because I would kind of like to use the shortcuts on my watch.
Yeah, so the shortcuts on a watch would get me towards that ecosystem.
No. Does Wyze require a base station?
Not that I know of.
No. Okay. Probably not, because I think they're Wi-Fi, right?
Well, like Philips Hue, aren't they Wi-Fi and don't they require a base station?
No, they're the Hue.
It's not
are,
Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I forget what the Hue is. I want to say it's M-Wave, I think, or Z-Wave.
Yeah, I believe it's Z-Wave. That's correct. But and anybody out there listening, thinking I'm the authority, verify me, fact check me.
Right. But like now, so brand wise, I don't know yet for sure.
Ooh, Wyze had, I think it was $50 earbuds.
Okay.
That are noise canceling. You know, I guess similar to the current AirPods. So I did pre-order those. They're coming out in July, or slated to come out in July.
Right. So the house is going to get an Alarm.com workable system, so far as security goes. And
what is Alarm.com?
All the house. Alarm.com, it's basically the heartbeat of an entire smart home system. Now, it's a service, like it'll have the alarm. There's going to be a pad in it somewhere. And I believe you can also just load it up an app on your phone. So, and then the lock on the front door is going to be a quick set smart lock.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to turn the smart features.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I may not on that. The thermostat's a Z-Wave.
I have two smart locks, or not smart, okay. I would say Cypher, you know, keypad locks to get in the house. So one's in the garage area and one is the pool area. So if power's down and you can't get in the garage door, you can get keylessly into the house. Because pretty much nobody carries a key to the house.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, well, you really don't have to with my house either. The quick set lock has a combo on it. The garage door will have that on too. Different one, but it'll have
it. Unless you have battery backup on the garage door.
Right. I think it will, but the Honeywell T6 Pro Z-Wave thermostat is the thermostat they're going to install the house. The Alarm.com...
there's a Wyze thermostat.
Yep, there is. There is.
Which I did get in return, because it doesn't work with my system.
Okay. The actual pad that's like mounted on the wall, at least I thought it was mounted on the wall, I don't know. I can't figure out by the wiring where they're going to put it. But it's a Qlosys IQ panel that has that, and it'll connect into the camera. It's a Skybell camera that's on the front door. And there will be at least one smart switch in the house. Probably, I think it's probably going to go in the living room, and they're going to throw an Amazon Echo Dot in there for nothing. You know, that's the stuff the house comes with. So whatever I replace, like whatever bulbs I put in place, will probably be Z-Wave compatible. Either that, or I may look into a switch that can, you know, whatever switch they included in-house, I might look into buying that my own and putting that in myself, because it's not hard to wire a switch. Especially since all the wiring will be brand new and all that stuff, and should work with anything in existence. So, and then of course I did verify all the network cabling's in. So I have four network drops from the front room over the garage, which is my office space. And then one of those goes to each bedroom, and then one to the living room. So, you know, I have to see. I don't know if the Qlosys panel can act as a Z-Wave hub. If it can, great. That's just what I'll use, because I just don't want to buy anything else. So then I just have to add the devices to it. So I will say that I am going to be done with, after we move out of the apartment, I'll probably be done with the Lightify stuff, because they're turning their servers off in August. So beware, any of the smart home stuff that you're using, if it connects to the cloud, it's probably going to go away at some point.
That's why I'm absolutely not a fan of anything that goes off-prem as far as smart stuff. Any of my stuff,
I'm mixed on it. It just depends. You know, it just... Well,
so here's my beef with that. If it's reliant on the cloud service that can go away at any time, they really need to have some sort of escrow of the code so you can run your own. It should be as simple as you download a VM, or you download a Docker container, and you can run that code local.
Yep.
Because, you know, orphaning hardware, realistically, and again, I'm not Mr. Green or Greeny environmentalist, but I hate throwing working tech away. You know, something like my TCP bulbs that I bought that were very expensive at the time, and expensive, you know, considering current smart bulb prices, are useless. And, you know, there's no reason to orphan that technology. And I think they even worked hard to make sure you couldn't use them any other way. So it just bad policy. So Dan, I know you're a frugal guy, and I do respect that. I was wondering what purchase tech purchases do you see in the future?
I don't. I really don't see any tech purchases in the future. Like, in the next 6 months, probably nothing. I just got a phone, like 2 months ago.
And what phone did you get?
The Pixel 4a.
Okay, and how much was that?
Hold on. I think it was $350. Let me double check.
And like, how big of a screen is that, and how happy are you with it?
Oh wait, I bought it from Google. It is. Hold on, I'm trying to find the price that I paid for it. I think it's a because I bought it directly from Google, and they don't make it easy to find.
From $349.
Yeah, it was $349. That's right. And so it's from $349. So I have the black one. It was a $349 model. It's a 5.8 inch screen, and I mean, to be honest, I was coming from that what was my other phone? Now I gotta go look it up.
Really old and crusty, and probably fairly old when you got it.
I was coming from the. Jeez, why don't I remember this? I'm getting too old. The Motorola.
Oh yeah, I remember you had the Motorola. One, so the 5.8, got my caliper out. It's slightly smaller than the Note 8, but still a decent size.
So it's smaller than my previous phone, that's for sure. The screen is just a hair smaller. I had my previous phone for like three plus years, so it was really showing its age when I replaced it, and so it was like night and day. I mean, I think this only had like a couple of gigs available to me after the operating system and all its updates. Now this Pixel 4a now is what. I don't even remember how much storage is on it. It's like 10 times what I was using before. But no, I like it. It works a lot better. I'm hoping that this thing's gonna last me 2 or 3 years at least. That's my expectation on it. Maybe a little more. But I don't hold high hopes out for that being more than 2 or 3 years. That seems to be whether I bought a more expensive phone or a low-end phone, I seem to still get the same amount. But we shall see. Now, computer-wise, system-wise, I got a Chromebook a few months ago, I think at the end of summer. Right before there was like a rush on Chromebooks for schools and everybody was buying them up, I had bought one. It was a year old when I bought it, and I did it strictly because I wanted to run like Linux apps on it and see how well that did, and that model does it. So I'm not looking to buy anything or looking for new tech for a while. I got too many mouths here wanting to go to school.
Oh, right? For sure.
And stuff like that. So unless something breaks down and I need to absolutely replace it, I'm not really looking to buy anything right at this moment.
Because I kind of feel the same way. I'm not looking to upgrade my Note 8. I'm not looking to upgrade any hardware. I don't have anything broken, and I don't feel like anything is, you know, I don't feel like I'm missing out on any tech. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with you. If I'm going to buy something, I want to throw a nice bit of change at it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to get some cheap stuff anymore, because when I get the cheap stuff, it never ends up working out like I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, I don't use. That's why I'm not like tablets. Aside from the Jai, which I really like, all the other tablets I've had and stuff, I'm like, if you're not going to throw a good chunk of money at it, it's you're going to have a bad experience.
Yep. I hear you.
If you get a couple years old, you could get a really good one for not breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm. So if I start flying again, I'm going to need a tablet because my current tablet doesn't work with, Droid EFB anymore.
Mm-hmm. Why? I'm trying to find, that's a good question, why, but...
Well, it's, all right, so in the Android ecosystem, there's so many variants out there, and to be able to test that everything works right with it, as opposed to the iPhone or Apple ecosystem, if you're doing... you know, how many iPads, how many versions of iPads are there out there? So it'd be very easy to test for all of them.
Yeah. Well, basically, if the software you need runs on the version of iOS that iPad OS, that your iPad will run, then your software will run generally. It just depends on what kind of connectivity you need. Like, for example, if you need something that connects to something with straight up USB, you're better off looking at an iPad Air or an iPad Pro that has the USB-C on it than you can attach a dock and connect traditional USB-C peripherals to it or devices of that sort. So that's one thing where the iPad actually is, I think, is somewhat better than some of the Android devices. But then,
most of your Android devices have USB-C nowadays, and you can do the exact same thing.
Correct. But, The issue is one of OS support nowadays. Like, I saw this ad, and I've been seeing this ad over and over and over again on Facebook. I clicked on it, and now, of course, I can't find the damn thing. But somebody out there has an Android tablet that's color e-ink and runs Android 11, and I'm like, I'm so tempted to get something like that. And I think it comes with a stylus, and the fact that it's e-ink means its battery life is going to be stupid.
Well, just get a tablet that runs Linux.
Yeah, good luck with that. I know there's some, and I know you can make various Windows devices work that way, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
you know what, Rich? I lied. I just remembered what it is that I do want to replace sometime in the near future. And that's
game system.
No, that would be too expensive. My Wi-Fi access point upstairs.
Oh, there you go.
It's showing its age. It's like, I think over 6 years old now, maybe even longer than that.
You have Ethernet run up to it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's been kind of flaky the past couple of months. I've just been like, I go to look and see, well, what do I want to get? And then I'm like, you know what? It's working good enough now. I'll hold off. I just haven't invested the time to do the research on what to get.
Dude, I am still rocking the Asus RTA C68U and the T-Mobile version as mesh node.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about those.
I have a bunch of these Linksys MHWO3s. In a box, like a bunch of them.
I still have my AC68, but I'm not using it anymore. I switched over to mesh system, the Zen Max, which works wonderfully, although that will be packed in the storage. And I'm probably going to dig out the old AC68 here over the weekend, and I want to try and get it set up so that I can plug it into the hotel Ethernet when I get to extended stay. Because the bloody house ain't ready yet. But Re-Inkstone, that's the name of it.
Yeah, I have the Grandstream access point. I bought that back last fall. That's been working pretty good.
Nice.
I'm looking to upgrade my router soon.
Yep.
I want to be able to do like a VPN. You know, OpenWRT or something comparable, you know? I don't know what I'm going to get, though.
What are you going to get? That's probably the only thing I'm
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said you know what you're going to get.
I don't know which one I'm going to get. I'm definitely want to upgrade it, though, at some point. The one I got is kind of limited, and
yep.
I've had it for a few years, so, you know. I want something that can handle a VPN, you know?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah, I just looked at mine. 7 years old. Over 7 years old now. It's done me well.
Yeah, it's about what my AC68 is. I mean, it's still getting updates. I mean, that's the good thing. It's still getting updates. In fact, I can probably incorporate it as one of the nodes in my mesh network, too, since it supports AI mesh. But the Re-Inkstone, I put an article to it, but it actually has a link to the actual page of the Re-Inkstone e-ink, color e-ink based tablet. Probably the only thing I'm semi-interested in that's a semi-major purchase. I don't call 329 necessarily a major purchase, but when it comes out, it's not out yet. But semi-interested into that. I'm not 100% sold on it because, again, it's an Android-based device, and what's likely to happen with it is that it'll have what it has on it, and you might get one more update on it, maybe security updates if you're lucky, and that's it. You know, it'll be the same thing. On this Re-Inkstone tablet, the Re-Inkstone R1. I put it in the Mumble chat.
How much is it?
The launch alert will be. It'll launch at $329.
$329, you get one update.
Well, maybe. You don't know that. That's the problem. It just feels like a Kickstarter kind of thing. Although I'll say you'll probably like it because you can read comics on it. You'll do PDF, EPUB.
Oh, this is it's an e-reader. Okay, yeah.
But it's Android. It's straight up Android 11.
See, the thing that kills me about this is looking at this is I feel like it's trying to be too many things at one time, and it's.
Yeah.
And it's not like if it was just an e-reader, like the Kindle was pretty cool, right? It was
still kind of is.
Yeah. And it would have been great if you could read like comic if it had a color and
color.
You could do the e-ink color like this if they would like cut the price in half and that's all it was an e-ink color e-ink reader, that would be
great.
You'd
probably snap it up. Yeah.
I might consider it. Because, you know, quite honestly, I read all my stuff on my phone, and I wish it was,
easier on the eyes.
Yeah, it's, and you can read it easier in the sunlight, and I don't want to spend, like, $300 just for an e-ink reader like this. And I get the feeling that this probably wouldn't be a good tablet. Maybe not work as well for watching movies or doing any other things you want to do on a tablet. I could be wrong, though. I don't know. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I mean, it looks like a wonderful device, just like our guide was. And then, I mean, I don't even have it no more. I got rid of it because it's just like when I didn't feel like moving it. So it's just like I pitched it. So it's like, you know, but it's just, I wish somebody other than Samsung would step up and bring out a true quality Android device at a reasonable rate. And I don't mean iPad Pro reasonable. I mean Nexus 7 reasonable. This is actually price point. This is okay. If it was brought out by anybody else but this company, which I've never heard of before, I'd probably buy it. Like for example, if this was a Lenovo, I'd consider it. But being it's Ringstone, some weird company, probably made in China. Not that I have a problem with things made in China. I don't. But because some people do, but it's just the promise of supporting it after buying it is pretty important to me because I don't want to have to be buying another tablet in a year if I buy something like that. I bought the iPad Air 4 when I bought it because I know Apple's going to be around in a couple years. And in fact, I still have my old iPad and it still works. On this, probably not as good as the iPad. And I'll say the iPad refresh rate is acceptable, but the Air 4 doesn't have the high refresh rate that the iPad Pro does.
Well, with this being e-ink, I have to seriously consider, you know, what if the refresh rate is like 15 or something?
Yeah, it's not going to be a good video experience, I think. I don't see how e-ink could be. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but it's just like this might be one of those ones. They have a link at the bottom. I might throw it out and say, "Hey, I write for so and so. Can you throw one my way to review?" And I don't even care if I can get to keep it. I'm like, you know, I'm one of those rare people. You can send me something for free, and I'm still gonna chew it up. You know, because I'm honest. And you giving me a device isn't going to make me say it's not shit. But, yeah, same thing goes with, like I may go ahead and get rid of my Aspen, which I think I still have here. But it's just I don't see it getting another update. And it's a couple years old right now, at least. But yeah, I need to start. Actually, I really need to start researching what bulbs I want to put in the house. And the nice thing is I have barn lights all over the place, so there's can lights in every room. So basically, I really don't need lamps in the new house because it's going to have plenty of lighting. I'll have lamps just because I like lamps. Because sometimes I don't want to have the ceiling lights on. But. And then other things I'll probably look at, I'm seriously considering for a couple of the rooms whether I want to put remote controlled blinds. Or I don't know if they make smart blinds where I can have it open up in the morning, you know? But. And I don't know, Rich, you still on? They got it.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard last week, but when they screwed up, they poured the pad for my screen room on the wrong side of the house. All right, so instead of tearing it up and re-pouring it, they just re-poured it. So I asked the superintendent, and I'm like, do you have to tear that up? Can you just leave it? He's like, I don't see why not. Let me check into it. And he checked into it. He's going to leave it, so that's where my grill's going to go.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, free patio. Kind of, yeah. Well,
so here's how you finish it off. You get the textured concrete on top, and you make it look like, you know, Belgian block or something.
Well, what I'm thinking of doing is I'm going to get, like, one of them fire pits and put it between the two pads, the one outside the screen room and the one where the grill will be. So I'll put probably one of those. Joe's like, build one, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I want. I don't know if I can build one per the covenant restrictions that the homeowners association will have, because they do all the landscaping and the grass mowing. I don't have to do that anymore. But so if I put a fire pit, it's probably going to be one of those ones that I can move out of the way when I'm not done using it. So I might either get kind of the nicer ones, or what I may do is I might buy a solo stove for when I want to do a fire outside, and then I can get like a piece of tile, like concrete tile, and put it on that. You know, that way if we want to have a fire and sit around a fire and roast some hot dogs and have some s'mores and stuff, I could do that. But the grill is going to be probably a Pit Boss variant of some sort, a pellet grill. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm trending more towards the Austin XL, which is the large one, but we'll see. I don't know. I want something that can smoke, or that can grill. Well, really, that it can smoke and grill, and I think that will work for that. And I'm really seriously thinking about a sous vide just because of how much Dan says he likes his.
Wait, you're not on the sous vide train?
Not yet.
You gotta ask why, right?
Yeah, it took me a couple years. Because you guys been, you know, talking about it, and I'm like, I finally, yeah, I did it a year ago. I guess I got it with COVID.
Right. Well, I just like think sous vide the steak all day, and then really all you gotta do is take it out and sear it, and that's it.
Yep.
It's ready.
Yeah, but definitely sous vide and steak is phenomenal. I hate saying it, I kind of chicken breasted myself out. I'm done with chicken breast for some period of time now.
Right. But
I like sous vide scallops.
That sounds delicious.
It's like all you have to do is just worry about just searing them at the end, just like everything else.
So yeah, you sear them in like a frying pan?
Yeah, I sear them in my either my cast iron or my copper pan.
Right.
Not copper.
Cast iron or aluminum?
Oh, jeez.
Now, see,
carbon
my stove...
steel. Sorry, carbon steel.
Oh, there you go.
Either my cast iron or my carbon steel.
Yeah, my stove in the new house will be gas, so I won't have an electric stove anymore. And for the recent stuff that happened in Texas, makes me glad I bought that instead, because if I have a power outage, hey, I can just turn the damn stove on and light it with a match and cook, you know? So.
You can turn your grill on, too.
They do that, too, yeah. But, it's interesting you say. It's the one thing I got to look at is if I get the pellet grill, I got to see if the auger on that is driven by a battery or if I have to plug it in.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, because it has a motor and an auger that will feed the pellets in.
I'm going to assume that you probably have to plug that in.
I am, too, at this point. So, yeah.
Well, if they put a Peltier junction in there, it could generate its own electricity.
Well, you know what? You're not wrong there either, because there's several little camp stoves I've been looking at that have that kind of a feature in it. They put that in there, and you can be boiling the water for your oatmeal at the campsite, and you can have your phone plugged into it and be charging your phone at the same time. Now, granted, for camping, eventually I'd like to get me a Jackery. Those things are huge. Like they just brought out a 2,000 watt hour. Yeah, 2,000 watt hour Jackery battery with the inverter on it, USB ports, 12-volt power. You know, I think that might actually have enough juice to power both of the BiPAPs that we have at night. And then I'll have a extension cord going out to the pole at the campsite. At least until we buy an RV, because we might be doing that. And I need to look at, there's on a main road going in towards where our development is, there is a sign for the Southeast Conservation Club. And you can kind of see back into it as you come in on off the other main road. And there's just a whole bunch of campers in there, and I'm thinking, I wonder if you pay a membership in that, if they'll just let you park your RV in there, and then that's like walking distance from my house. So I can, if I got an RV and if I can store it there just down the street from my house, even better. Because I love going camping. But I'm going to have to get an RV at some point because this old body can't take sleeping on the ground in a tent anymore.
You know, I could be wrong. Maybe when I look at pictures of pellet grills, they don't show a cord. But I'm sure this probably has a cord, and maybe there's either a battery that you could charge or...
Yeah. Because there's a fair amount of electronics to it too, because you basically set the temperature and then it just feeds the pellets in to keep the temperature at the right level.
I'm sure it doesn't take AA batteries.
Yeah, probably not. I won't go the full redneck expensive one, with the Traegers.
Gee, that's what you're going to get?
Those are god-awful expensive. No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, you're looking at dropping a grand on those things.
If you get a Traeger, yeah.
Yeah.
The Pit Boss is around $447 for the Austin XL. And I can get a stay up a smaller one for about $250. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Now, Walmart has the Pit Boss Austin XL for $1,004. $447, but then I scroll over on the Google search and it has heatcoat.com has it for $331.33. But I can go to Walmart and pick it up for the extra $147 and have it the weekend we move in. Because that's this time of year, that's the only thing I want to do cooking wise is throw something on the grill. You know what I mean?
That's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
But I see. Well, I've been known to during the date. Like I'll have a in the freezer. I'll have a stack of hamburgers or something. I'll just throw a hamburger on the grill for lunch, or even a steak for that matter.
And there you go, Rich. I'll also be using my sous vide tomorrow too.
Well, there you go.
I did cook the steak today on the Foreman grill.
Yeah. There you
What'd
go.
You do on the Foreman grill?
Had a steak.
Okay.
I'll be doing. To answer your question, Rich, I'll be doing Greek marinated chicken thighs.
Nice.
Sounds delicious. Put a little bit of feta on them, suckers. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. You can go ahead with whoever I just cut off. Yeah.
No. For dinner tonight, I did Wahlburgers because there's a local grocery store where I can buy their patties. And I did those on my Cuisinart griddler because I apartment life. I can't grill. And I just do a little bit of Wright's liquid smoke on it, some seasonal and some pepper, and grilled those on that griddler. And they came out great. And I threw that on a pretzel bun. Delicious.
If you're looking at the Pit Boss, it's a plug.
Is it a plug? Okay.
Yeah, 120 volt, 3.1 amp, 3-prong plug.
Interesting.
It's interesting that that none of these pictures show that you have to plug it in, but obviously, yeah. If you read it.
My favorite one on Walmart.com is there's a picture of it sitting right next to the pool, and it's like, first off, I'd never put my grill that close to the pool.
Well, if it catches on fire, you just roll it right in.
I guess.
Ruin two things at once.
So it's one of those. This is one of those things where I'd probably have an extension cord I'd keep in the screen room, and then just run it from the pit boss over to the outlet in the wall of the house. I could still keep it on the that thing, and I'd probably also work on getting like a putting a cover on it so that it stays nice. Of course, the other option I have is to get a green egg.
I like the picture they show here on the Pit Boss on Amazon where they have a pie, a steak, some peppers, a whole chicken.
On the grill?
Yeah, on the grill, some green beans all at the same time. I'm like, really? Come on.
No.
And everything looks like it's already perfectly done.
Yeah. Nice fake marketing pictures there. I see a lot of people with the Pit Bosses. They'll grab like a frozen pizza and they'll throw that on the grill. I'm not kidding. They'll do that. And I'm like, I don't know why that you would do that, but I'd probably try it at least once.
I've done pizza on my grill. It's really good.
Wood fire pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, hey guys, it's 10 o'clock. Have a good night, guys.
Oh, crap.
He's a pumpkin. Alan.
Good talking with you.
Have a good
Speaking
one.
Of which, if you talk to him, Rich, if you're still on, tell Dora we're thinking about him. So
we'll do. I'll definitely will.
Yep. Because I don't know. Have you listened to the mini PC show, Dan?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's got something going on in his back, I think. So he's just been in a lot of pain. That's why there has been a lot of shows from Podnuts lately.
That's never fun.
No, no. And I had my sleep study, and June 2nd, I will be going to the sleep doctor to pick up my new machine. He kind of was able to finagle it to. I think he was able to finagle it so the insurance company can give it to me earlier than that. And I'll probably bring my old one in. I think they'll program it too, so I can use it as a backup. And I guess it just depends on if they put me in the. Technically, they could put me in the exact same machine because since I got the last one, I don't think they brought out anything new that can do what I need it to do for me. But. And I will say this of the Wise Watch, it tracks my sleep far better than my bed does because my Select Comfort. Oh! Okay, I have to look into it yet. It's probably one of the things I'm going to try and do this weekend. But I was thinking of.
Your bed my needs son a has firmware this, update.
Well, actually, it updates itself. I usually don't have to worry about that. But no, getting Luke one, a Sleep Number bed as well, because he's gotten this old hand-me-down. And, I mean, I cannot say enough good things about my Select Comfort bed. One of the best purchases I've ever made. I sleep so much better on it. And that worries me about the month of June because I'll be sleeping on a hotel room bed. But at least the reviews for that hotel says the beds are comfortable. So we'll see.
This is a stupid question that was asked about the Pit Boss pellet grill.
Oh, yeah.
Can you cook chicken legs on this?
Chicken wings? Oh,
chicken legs. He's like, can you cook chicken legs on this? And there's an answer in here. The answer is no, chicken livers only. Like, come on. Of course it's a grill. You can cook chicken legs on it.
Yeah. It's like asking if you can cook a burger on a grill. But see, now, here's the interesting question. When you do cook burgers at home, what kind of cheese do you put on a burger? Do you get the shitty American cheese or do you buy good cheese? I buy good cheese.
I'm fine with shitty American cheese. I do that.
Well, I am
do,
too.
I do Gouda. I'll do Feta. Not Feta. I could do Feta.
That actually would be good.
Sometimes good. Or jalapeno cheese.
Sometimes I like Velveeta on my burger.
Yeah. Well, it's like the same reason why a cheap-ass McDonald's, and I'm not talking about a Big Mac. I'm talking about the strain plate, plain Jane cheeseburger, a bun, a burger, a slice of cheese, two pickles, and a little ketchup, okay? For some dumb reason, that is satisfying every once in a while. Not all the time, but every once in a while. Because most of the time, I want to put it on a nice bun, a pretzel bun or a brioche or something like that. And I want to put good cheese on it. Like, I like to put extra sharp cheddar on mine, which is delicious. But I could see Gouda working. I could see blue cheese working. I could definitely see feta working. Anything but the pepper plastic jack. Cheese. Yeah, pepper jack works too. Although I'll eat pepper jack every once in a while. I don't eat it as much because one year when I was much younger than I am now, mom had like a bunch of cubed pepper jack at the I think it was probably New Year's Eve or something. And I'm sitting here, I'm chowing that down. I'm just throwing down that pepper jack, and I got sick. I ate so much pepper jack.
Ass on fire.
Threw up. Not that. Upchuck. Which means throat on fire.
And it was probably just as burny coming up as it was going down.
Yes, it was. So, needless to say, I'll eat it, but I won't eat it to that level anymore. Because I paid for it that day. I've been trying to find it. There's a company by the name of In Ohio. It's an Ohio company by the name of Vino Di Milo. And they make a maple bacon onion jam. I'll put that on a burger with some cheddar on it. Oh, dude. It works. I can't explain why that works, but it works. I rarely will eat. Well, the standard is pretty much cheddar, ketchup, pickles, or pickle relish, and maybe mustard. I rarely put mustard on my burger. That's kind of my standard, but a lot of times if I have different things in there, I'll mix it up, put different stuff on it, just because I'm that kind of guy. But I generally do like a nicer bun than the straight-up plain Jane hot hamburger bun, you know, the pay a dollar for eight of them hot hamburger bun, you know? Although I've been getting some Angus steak over at Sam's Club. I've been doing that on the grill about once a week for a while. And that stuff's pretty good, too. In fact, that's right. I got three more of those in the freezer. Maybe that's what we'll do for dinner tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
I don't have a sous vide, though. And I won't buy it until we move because I have no room here. And I definitely have no room at the Candlewood Suites. So...
Yeah. All right, we gotta play it out.
One more show here in Dublin, and then that will be it. I'll be tearing the office down the Thursday after next week's show. Yeah. I'm packing my printer away. My printer might actually be in storage by the weekend, I think. It just depends. The bad thing is I don't know if I'm going to have my car by the weekend. But... And that's the bigger car, the one everything gets hauled in. So, anyway, have fun the rest of this week, guys.
All right. You too. Have a good one, Joe.
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Playing it out. Here are your promos.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hackers.
community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Okay, me with the furball. He ain't played that one in a while.
What, to gag me with? I don't.
I thought you had one that said gag me with a fur ball once.
Maybe I do. I'd have to look for it.
It's not that geeky, but I started watching the Mighty Ducks series on Disney Plus.
Mighty Ducks. Wow.
Yep.
It's going back. Is that a new series?
It's a series. It's a new series on Disney Plus.
Huh.
The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. I'm actually very happy about it. Basically, the Ducks as we knew it from the movies, the team has turned into basically the Hawks from the movies. As in, they only care about actually winning all the time, to the point where you got kids vomiting and waking up for 6 a.m. practices and stuff like that. And I won't say much more, but watch it. It's pretty good so far. And Emilio Estevez is in it too. So, in fact, I think he executive produces it. So, all right, guys.
I'm gonna stop the recording. I rebooted the system, and then I went into GNOME and tried out some stuff, and things seemed to be working pretty well there. So I left and went into ICE, and things seem to be working pretty well now too. I don't know why it was giving me issues last week. It like wouldn't even detect the microphone port properly. I couldn't play anything through the headphone jack. It wouldn't detect anything in the headphone jack.
Yep.
But reboot, fix it all up.
Yep. Got my new watch on.
Is it worth every single penny? We'll find out, right?
Absolutely, actually. It's the lowest price I've ever paid for a smartwatch.
Is it really
smart? It
does
everything I need. Oh! Depends. Yeah. If you're kind of the guy who wants to set a text from your watch, you won't be happy with it. For me, I don't give a shit about that.
Today,
Facebook ads keep tempting me too. Not for the watch, but for that re-inks. Did you? I think I shared it on MeWe. I think.
How is the watch? That...
We're gonna find out shortly, Joe.
Yes, right, man.
What? On the show?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a show.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a show. Of course there's a show. There's always
this
a show.
This all gets recorded anyway and added to the show, right?
Yeah.
At the end, usually, yeah.
Well, people get to wait till the end to find out how good it is.
Mm-hmm. I got a fireplace now.
Oh. Is it called the living room?
It's in the living room, yeah. You need them.
Shut up!
Damn, that's old.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Wait, are you in the, are you in the temporary, the second temporary place?
No, excuse me.
Oh, you mean you have a fireplace in your house now?
Correct. Correct. Well, I have a fireplace in my apartment, too, but they did their pre-move-in inspection, and I'm like, pre-move-out inspection. I'm like, I've never heard of an apartment complex doing that. I'm like, okay.
They're like, what's this shit stain on the floor?
A lot of them do, and then a lot of them also try to screw you over and say, oh, this wasn't messed up when you moved in, so I hope you kept all your move-in paperwork and did a proper inspection before you moved in.
Yeah. You're probably going to paint the place ever anyway, even though it was painted 8 months ago.
Well, yeah, and they're probably going to, even if you have the place, like, deep cleaned yourself, they're probably going to hire somebody to clean it, too.
Yeah, because we will do that.
And bill you.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of apartment complexes or landlords in general.
Well, I've never felt belittled in any apartment till now.
But usually they before you move in, they try to make you feel great, and then, you know, they leave you alone until you get something fixed, and then they leave you alone some more, and then when it's time to move out, everything's your fault.
Yep.
I used to, I worked for a company that did apartment websites and portals, and I would see some of the trade magazines that would come through and stuff for apartment complexes. And it was like really interesting. Some of the articles in there talking about, like, here's some rules that you could put in place that you could penalize your tenants for should they, you know, do X, Y, and Z. You could, like, if you put in a no smoking rule or whatever, you can fine them for smoking. Or if you have, you could have an extra pet policy of like $50. But if you find out they have another pet, you can put it in there to get X, you know, all this. And it was all these things that you could like ding residents on to, earn extra income from them, like to tack on to their rent and everything.
Yeah, that kind of shit should be fucking bullshit. But anyway.
A lot of places do this other little thing where they charge you a pet deposit. It's a non-refundable pet deposit. That's perfectly fine that it's non-refundable. But what they forget at the end is that non-refundable pet deposit, anything that you have to pay towards fixing, it's supposed to come out of that pet deposit first.
No, right. Of course. Like, he saw this little line on the wall, like, which actually existed since, you know, the day we moved in.
Which is why you need to keep that paperwork when you do your initial walkthrough.
Oh, yes.
Where they sign off on everything that was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, they're not going to screw me, because I'll be like, you know, fuck you. You guys had shit break in this apartment every 6 out of the 8 months that I've been here. There's been something broken every month, and it wasn't caused by us.
Well,
technically, technically that's 7 out of 8 because
how real estate law works, you're still liable. It will still come against you.
Yep. Well, and the worst part is like, they're like, oh, we're going to do it on this day, but they couldn't tell me what time.
Of course they can't.
Because I'm like, dude, I fucking work from home, okay? And I don't need to be
pestered. Then you're
going to
be there, man.
Bothered.
Right? They're like, sometime you're going to be there.
Between,
who cares?
Sometime between 8 a.m. and 12 a.m.
Like, where's the cable guy?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Then the car, you know, I managed to get an appointment today, which that in and of itself was a miracle, because they actually have nothing else open until after the first. So I show up there and they're like, oh, you're going to have to leave it. It might be 2 or 3 days. I'm like, well, tomorrow I'll be calling you tomorrow afternoon to find out what the hell's going on. I heard somebody say, well, really, you only got one technician. I'm like, it's not my fucking problem, is it? I want my car.
What do you have it in for?
Air conditioning wasn't blowing cold.
Was it blowing hot?
Cold enough. No, it wasn't blowing hot, but it was blowing. Wasn't blowing cold enough. Kind of like the same problem I had, I don't know, 2 years ago.
Did you check the air in the tires?
Bastards. Yeah, they're fine. What would that have to do with air conditioning?
Nothing. Oh. Does it just need to be recharged?
That could be it. Last time, though, it was the rear condenser. And if it's the rear condenser again, I'd be like, you guys can be charged that to my warranty. Because that shouldn't fail in 2 years.
Wait, how old's the car?
17.
Oh, okay. Well, no, wait, that's only like 4 years old, so...
Yeah.
When's the warranty run out? 5 years?
We have a warranty up until the car's paid off. I think we had a 6-year loan, if I remember right. Not that we're going to be paying on it 6 years, because it's going to be paid off for 2 months longer.
Well, I was going to say, that should be covered under warranty if it's something like that.
Yeah, I would hope so. So we'll see. We'll see. The only thing I'm not sure of is the USB plug in the front, which I honestly don't care if it actually works, because it's not like that plug actually enables Android Auto or anything. It's basically just a charge port. Although, it will, like if you plug a thumb drive in and have like a stack of MP3s on it or something, it will read those. But it starts to flash like a error message. Like when you first start it, it'll flash an error message on the stereo or whatever you want to call it, the infotainment system. And then I can make it go away, and generally it's okay. You know, unless if I bang my knee into the console, then it'll pop up again. But I'll have them look at that. I have a feeling it's probably just a cable got worn or something. They could even tape the damn thing for all I care. I don't care if it's tape. As long as it works, I don't give a shit.
They'll be like, hey, we're going to put the air conditioner under warranty. The USB port's going to be $5,000.
No, if it's anything like that, I'd be like, fuck off, fuck that off, yeah. But, yeah, I keep telling my wife I want a truck, but she's like, what do you need a truck for? I'm like, okay, you have us running shit down to the storage place every single every weekend in the last two. What the hell do you think I need a truck for?
But after that, what are you going to need a truck for? You don't plan on moving ever again, right?
Well, it's funny that you ask. Anytime I go camping, it would be a wonderful tow vehicle.
You're going to tow your truck from your other vehicle?
No, I tow a camper.
Yeah, there you go.
Tow a camper, and then, you know, I could put a cap on it, and then I can have more cargo storage area, you know?
Yeah.
Tons of stuff. I mean, a truck is pretty damn useful. Even if you're not moving, or if you're just, well, a homeowner, it's definitely useful, because then you can carry shit home. Like, you know, if I buy a couch or something that's large and I don't want to pay a delivery fee, hey, there you go. All I gotta have is help to load it.
All right, let's start. All right,
let's go.
It's 907 this week. What's up, Pat? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
All right. Finally getting some decent weather down here where it's not like...
Beautiful up here.
Cold.
It is.
Like chilly, not cold.
Cold, chilly.
Actually got into the ocean the first time yesterday.
Really? You've never been in the ocean before?
No, this year. I mean, like when swimming, because it's been like the water's all right, but it's been chilly. The wind has been like not comfortable. And I know if I went swimming like a couple days ago, if I would have gone in, I would have been miserable because the air was just not a happy time. Anyway.
It's like 76, but it's 68% humidity.
Yeah. What's up, Flying Rich?
Oh, my God.
Right? Who's that guy?
The guy who can't get his microphone working.
Oh. I guess we should talk about it on the show, but I got a new 3D printer.
Ah, well, nice. Absolutely. You can tell us how you convinced the wife on that one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.